Good morning. Today's daf in Rosh Hashanah's Ches. We are starting on the very top of Ches Amud Aleph. Rebbe Lazar, Rebbe Shimon Amram, Becha B'Tishrei. So we head back to our Mishnah, first Mishnah of the Masechta, talking about Dalad Rosh Hashanah. There are four firsts over the course of the year. We said it a number of different ways in terms of how to understand that heading of the Mishnah. There are 4 months that have firsts in it. There are four firsts, depending on which Tana we go, like whatever the Pshat is you want to say in the Mishnah. So there are a number of, let's say it like that. That way it'll be clear and I don't have to overcommit myself. So there are a number of firsts over the course of the year. So the Rosh Hashanah that we're most familiar with, of course, is Rosh Hashanah of Tishrei. And in fact, we call it Rosh Hashanah, but that's not the only Rosh Hashanah. There are multiple Rosh Hashanahs that occur, and the Mishnah introduced us to them, and we've been discussing since the Mishnah the various firsts. Most of our discussion from Daf Beis until yesterday's Daf Zayin has revolved around the first of the Mishnah, notably the first day of Nisan. So the first day of Nisan is Rosh Hashanah for Malachim and Regalim. And so we spent in Daf Yomi terminology over a week on that very first point of the Mishnah. Good. Now that that's in the books, so now we continue to the next point of the Mishnah, and that's going to be the next first. The next first of the Mishnah is going to be Rosh Hashanah for Ma'aser Behemah. So Ma'aser Behemah, when you collect your animals that are born over the course of the season, count them and dedicate the 10th one as a karban. So this halacha, Ma'aser Behemah, so it is also going to be based on a fiscal year. There's going to be a beginning to the end, there's going to be an end, right? Whatever the day is the beginning, the last day of that year is going to be its end. But what is the beginning and the end? So it's a machlokus amongst the Tanaim and the Mishnah, exactly when is going to be the beginning, the beginning of the fiscal year for Ma'aser Behemah. So some are of the opinion that it is the first day of Elul, 1 month before what we call Rosh Hashanah, and others say that's the first day of Tishrei. Let's attach names to these positions, as the Gemara expects that we know their names. The one that says that's Rosh Chodesh Elul is going to be Rabbi Meir, and the one that says that's Rosh Chodesh Tishrei, meaning coinciding with what we call Rosh Hashanah, so that's Rebbe Elazar and Rabbi Shimon. Okay, and what's behind this machlokas? So at this point in time, we haven't seen. That's where we're going to be starting this morning. We're going to see exactly what the basis of that machlokas is. The Gemara is going to try out two different svaras. Amar Rebbe Yochanan. I'll read the heading. Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Shimon, Amar Becha B'Tishrei. Ches Amud Aleph, 6-7 lines down from the top of the Amud. Amar Rebbe Yochanan, Ushnei Mekarecha Darshu. So, Rebbe Yochanan offers a pshat in the machlokas, and that is, they're arguing about the following pasuk. Pasuk in Tehillim. Lav Shukari Matzon Ve'amakim Ya'atfu Bar Yitro Af Yashiru. Okay, good. So, in the 65th parak of Tehillim, so David describes, and we're going to go now with we have three successive phrases, so let's try to at least familiarize ourselves with the three phrases. Phrase number one, Lav Shukari Matzon. So, a little bit difficult to translate, but Rashi points out over here, it basically means the sheep got pregnant. Okay, that's not a literal translation. Literally, the sheep are wearing some sort of stuffing, pillowing, and right, cars like a pillow. Anyway, sheep got pregnant. Okay, that's phrase number one. Phrase number two, Amakim Ya'atfu Var. And as far as the valleys are concerned, so they are adorned in bar. Bar is basically a feed and some sort of grain, right? When Yosef collects in Mitzrayim during the years of famine, so you'll see that word again and again. So anyway, so the the fields are covered in some sort of growth. And finally, Yidro Af Yashiru. Rashi explains over here, what is this talking about? This is talking about further development in the fields, meaning that when the stalks start growing a little bit higher, the wind is rustling, and basically what you hear is the rustling of the grains. And literally, the pasuk translates, Yisro Af Yashiru, it's like they're singing, meaning that the rustling that's created by the stalks is as if they're singing. Okay, so far, I can't expect anyone to understand right now what's happening. Perfectly understandable. So basically, we have three successive phrases in the pasuk. One, the sheep getting pregnant. Two, the emerging growth of the grains in the field. And three, the subsequent growth of the grains in the field. Okay, good. That's right now how we're saying over the pasuk. How does that have anything to do with our discussion right now regarding machlokus when Rosh Hashanah is for Ma'aser Behemah? Stay tuned. So Remeir Savar Emes Alav Shukari Matzon Bizman Shah Makim Yat Fubar. So now Remeir will tell you as following. What we're going to learn from the Pasuk in Tehillim is that there are two agricultural events that coordinate one with the other. And that is that when the fields start producing grains, so that's when the animals get pregnant. Meaning those two events coincide one with the other. Now, when do we have emergence? Meaning, when does vegetation start? So it starts in the month of Adar, and then mit Abra Adar. So that means that the animals are conceiving in the month of Adar. Now, we're talking about small animals over here. This part's a little bit tricky. In other words, we're really only connecting this to small animals. The mitzvah of Maisa Behema is not limited to small animals. The mitzvah of Maisa Behema applies to small animals and large animals as well. But for the purposes of this discussion, we are going to limit our comments to small animals. Gestation period of a small animal is 5 months. Sheep, goat have a five-month gestation period. So if conception occurs in Adar and you go 5 months, so that means that they're going to be giving birth in the month of Av. Now, Rosh Hashanah Shalahem Elo. So now, if all the newborns are born in the month of Av, so then what's expected is that the very next Rosh Chodesh that they're going to encounter, that's got to be the new year vis-a-vis Maisa Behema, because Maisa Behema is all about the birth of the new animals. That is all the Shita of Rebbe Meir. Now, Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Shimon Amrim, Emes Alav Shukarim Atzam, Bizman Shidro Af Yashiru. And now, Rebbe Elazar and Rebbe Shimon would tell you that no, that conception does not occur in the month of Adar, but it occurs rather in the month of Nisan. Why? Because they're connecting the first phrase of the Pasuk in Tehillim with the third phrase of the Pasuk in Tehillim. And so that means that the animals are going to be conceiving when? When you got the rustling. When is the rustling occurring? That's not the point of emergence, but that's later. At the point of where you have big stalks, which is in the month of Nisan. So now the Gemara just simply takes everything we just said, but pushes it over 1 month ahead. So Amos Aishibal Omro Shira Benisan. So when is there rustling? In the month of Nisan, Mit Abra Benisan, which coincides with the conception. Animals are conceiving in the month of Nisan. And Vyoldos Belo, and then therefore go 5 months later, they're giving birth in Elo. So Rosh Hashanah Shalem Tishrei. So then Rosh Hashanah should be Tishrei. Okay. So it is amazing, right? This is a point that we've seen numerous times, that the reality of the world is going to be influenced and affected by the Pasuk in Tehillim. Meaning, rather than starting with, well, let's empirically look at when animals are giving birth. So the Gemara doesn't go in that direction, but goes in the opposite direction. Let's take a look at the Pasuk in Tehillim, and from there, so we'll discover when exactly is going to be the seasons in terms of birthing. Okay. So the Idach Nami Haksiv Yisrov Yashiru. So the Gemara says, okay, now, you have to acknowledge, each Shita has to acknowledge that after the Pasuk in Tehillim describes the conception of the animals, so then there are two subsequent phrases, one having to do with emergence, which is in the month of Adar, and the other one has to do with rustling, which is in the month of Nisan. So you can't ignore the other phrase, so the Gemara wants to know. So if I subscribe if I subscribe to looking at emergence, that when the grains start emerging, so what do I do with the second? What do I do with the third phrase? So the Gemara says, "How about Felta to have you by Nisan?" So the Gemara says, "Okay, but they're late bloomers, okay." And here we mean this literally, right? As literal as one could imagine. So they are late blooming crops. So the Pasuk in Tehillim is describing that most of the time conception will coincide with emergence. Some conception occurs with the late blooming as well. Okay, good. That you could say that. V'idach nami haksiv amakim yatfubar. Now, if I'm focusing more on the rustling, what do I do with phrase number two? So hahu becharifta da'asya mi'adar. So the Gemara says, yeah, there's some that come early. Okay. Now, bishlam l'Rav Meir kidichsiv lav shukarim hatzom bizman shamakim yatfubar v'ikanami draf yashiru. Now, the Gemara says, now look, this approach over here really works a lot better for Rav Meir, because here's how the Pasuk works in chronological order. So when are the sheep conceiving? It coincides with Amakim Yatfubar, meaning emergence, meaning Adar. And then, Ikanami Drof Yashiru. And then you go to the next phrase, which is, oh, no, by the way, do you know that sometimes it also occurs a month later? Okay, good. But that's not the main, that's an outlier. It works out better according to Rav Meir. However, Ella Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon, Ibcha Mibaile. But according to Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon, so really what should be happening in the Pasuk is that the Pasuk should be putting together, stringing together conception of the animals with the majority of time, the main time that you have the rustling in the field, and so therefore it should be phrase number one, and then immediately followed with what we have as phrase number three, but that should be moved up to phrase number two. Lav shekar matzon bizman shirof yashiru v'ikanam idam makim yad fubar. So according to Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon, the pasuk would seemingly be quote unquote out of order. Okay, so Ela Marava. So as much as we attempted just for a couple minutes to learn out the shitas of Meir and Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon in terms of when the new fiscal year starts for Maaser Behema, whether it starts on the first day of Elul or first day of Tishrei, and the Gemara is going to revolve all this around proper understanding of that pasuk in Tehillim, the Gemara says, okay, abandon ship. We're going to leave that approach and we're going to go to a second approach. And again, the difficulty is that the first approach really favors Rav Meir and really does not favor Rav Elazar, Rabbi Shimon. We would like an approach that would give each one of them at least some svara to attach to. So, Allah Amarav Dikul Amalav Shukar Matzam Bezman Shamakim Yad Fubar Ba'adar. Okay, so the Gemara says good. So when does conception occurs in the month of Adar? As a simple shot in the pasuk would indicate. So, as far as the halacha is concerned, in terms of when is Rosh Hashanah for Maaser Behema, so that is going to be predicated on a different issue. We're all agreeing to the reality. It's just now a question of marking off when is Rosh Hashanah, and it's based on the following. Aser ta aser. So, we are in Parshas Re'eh. So, b'shnei ma'asor sekas medaber. The double language over here means that's a reference to two Maasers. Echad Maaser Behema ve'echad Maaser Dagon. So we're talking about the Maaser of your animals and the Maaser of the grains. And the fact that the Torah puts them together side by side, it's a Hekish. This is a classic Hekish. And Rameir Savar Mekish, Maaser Behema, and Maaser Dagon. So Rameir maintains that it's a Hekish. Everyone's going to maintain it's a Hekish, but it's not going to be a question, what do I do with the Hekish? So Ma Maaser Dagon Samach Legamro, Isuro, Av Maaser Behema Samach Legamro, Isuro. So when it comes to Maaser Dagon, so, samach legamro isuro. So, first of all, when is the new year for Maaser Dagon? So, it's the first day of Tishrei. So, first day of Tishrei is going to mark off the new fiscal year as it refers to Maaser of the grains. Now, the Gemara is assuming that we know this, meaning it's a given in this equation that's provided for us. How is it a given? So, Rashi says it's based on Psukim that we're going to see later on. It's coming up on Daf Yud Beis. Rashi says, okay, right now, for our purposes, it's a given. Which is that the beginning of the year vis-a-vis Maaser Dagon is going to be Rosh Chodesh Tishrei, what we call Rosh Hashanah. Okay, and I know we all know this, but just make sure that, you know, it's good review. And that's why is that significant? So because when it comes to Maaser, so you're supposed to be Maaser from this year's grains onto this year's grains. Additionally, we also know that the years are different in terms of how you take off Maasers. Meaning in years 1, 2, 4, and 5, so you're taking off Maaser Rishon followed by Maaser Sheni. In year 3 and 6 of the Shemitah cycle, you're taking off Maaser Rishon and Maaser Ani. Okay, so obviously it's important to know what year marks the beginning of the end for Maaser Dagon. And now we know. It's Rosh Chodesh Tishrei. So the Gemara says, good. So that's Maaser Dagon. That's a given. Now in that given, so what's our takeaway point from there? So our takeaway point is that Samuch Legamro Isuro. Well, when are the grains have arrived at its conclusion? It arrived at its conclusion immediately prior. Okay, so the life of a grain. So you plant it in the winter, right? It grows right around springtime, right? In fact, okay. Sorry for the interruption. Totally confused. Okay, it grows in the springtime and harvested right around Pesach. Okay, and then but still the processing is not done. It's left out in the field to dry, meaning even after harvesting, it's left out in the field to dry. It pretty much dries over the course of the entire summer. Okay. And then you collect it, and you collect it before the fall, or right at the beginning of fall. In other words, immediately before Tishrei. It's at that point in time now that the processing of the grains have completed. Good. That's the, right, as the Gemara presents it, that's the agricultural schedule as it relates to grain. Which means that the grain processing is done immediately prior to Tishrei. So, when it comes to Maaser Dagon, so what do we mark? The end of the processing, and then we go right to the new fiscal year. So the Gemara says, so off Maaser Behema, Samach Legamro Isuro. Look, we all agree now that the conception occurs in Adar, and it's a 5 month gestation period, and the births occur in the month of Av, and now, so we're going to assume that the Hekish is going to tell us that immediately after the end of the processing, so now we're going to go immediately to new fiscal year, meaning the upcoming Rosh Chodesh, which will be Rosh Chodesh Elul, so that'll mark the new fiscal year. Good. That's how Rav Meir learns the Hekesh. Now, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, Stavri, Mekesh, Meister Behem, La Meister Dagan. My Meister Dagan, Rosh Hashanah Shalot Tishrei, Af Meister Behem, Rosh Hashanah Shalot Tishrei. And Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, operating with the same Hekesh now, but their understanding is, how about we do this a lot simpler? You know how a Hekesh works? I'll show you how a Hekesh works. Okay, when is Rosh Hashanah for grain? So again, that's our given. Rosh Hashanah for grain is Rosh Chodesh Tishrei. Okay, good. Same thing is going to be true for the new fiscal year for Meister Behema. Okay, simple. In other words, and we don't have to figure out when the end of the processing is for each one of them. In other words, Hekesh tells us whatever's true for one is going to be true for the other. Okay. Adkan. When all said and done, so the Gemara now tried out two different svaras in terms of explaining the machlokas between Reb Meir and Reb Elazar Rebbe Shimon vis-a-vis when he's going to be the beginning of the new fiscal year, Legabe Meister Behema. And again, the significance is going to be is that when you take off Meister Behema, so you should be taking off animals that are born this year, only with animals that are born with this year, and you should not cross your years. Good. Now, next, Be'echa B'Tishrei Rosh Hashanah L'Shanim. So what's the first day of Tishrei? Okay, so now we're moving a little bit faster in our Mishnah. So now we're already up to the next first of our Mishnah, and that's the first day of Tishrei. So the Mishnah starts off by saying, what's the significance of the first day of Tishrei? So Rosh Hashanah L'Shanim. So it's the first in terms of years. That's vague. What do we do with that ambiguous phrase? So the Gemara is going to do what it does with ambiguous phrases. It's going to struggle a little bit in terms of interpreting what exactly that means. So l'mayhilchasa. So what does that mean? That the first day of Tishrei is Rosh Hashanah L'Shanim. So Amar Rapapa L'Shtara. So Rapapa says, I'll tell you a pshat, and the pshat is going to be when dating your star. So the Gemara says, what? Wait, what? Didn't we have that whole discussion already? So did not shtari chavah mukdamim psulam uchayim kshirim. Well, first, let's have the discussion again. Okay, so as far as dating a document is concerned, so we already went over the difference at the beginning of the Masechta between predated and postdated documents. So predated documents are possible, postdated documents are kosher, b'di'evid. Now, predated document is possible. Why? So once again, because what it does is it creates a fictitious lien on a property, so that now you're going to be, in the event that there's a default of the loan and you exercise your lien, so what you're going to be doing is illegally, unlawfully taking a property that does not belong to you. That's if you predate a document. If you postdate a document, so now the lender loses. Because what he did is he just simply forfeited the time period between the actual loan and when the document is dated. But that's his loss. And okay, and we're not going to disqualify a document based on that. Good. So the difference between predate and postdate, we did this already. And now, Ve'hatanan Be'echa B'Nisan Rosh Hashanah L'Malachim. And now, remember, we said that the first day of Nisan is Rosh Hashanah L'Malachim. Ve'amrinan L'may Hilchasa V'am Rav Chista L'Shtaros. And Rav Chista said, that's for Shtaros. So now, aren't we all good and confused now? Meaning, when we talked about Rosh Chodesh Nisan being Rosh Hashanah L'Malachim, we said that's for the purposes of documents. Now, as the Mishnah goes on to Rosh Chodesh Tishrei, which is Rosh Hashanah L'Shanim, so we're saying that's also Rosh Hashanah for properly dating documents. That's confusing. So the Gemara says, no, it's not confusing. Lo kasha kan l'machi, so kan l'machi umasa olam. So the Gemara says, it depends if we're talking about which kings. Jewish kings, Nisan. Non-Jewish kings, Tishrei. So the Gemara says, wow. Wow, really? So had amr of chista. So the Gemara says, okay, so let's go back. So let's go back to what we did back on Daf Gimel of our Masechta, where Rav Chista introduced us to this idea. So Rav Chista masnisan asalash minan. So now you're telling me that, you know what Rav Chista just taught me? He taught me a point that the Mishnah was making. That's a little strange. Meaning, if the Mishnah is going to make the point, why is Rav Chista introducing us to this point, which is like, let me introduce you to a really novel point. It's not really a novel point. It just is, if you just read the Mishnah from the beginning to the end, you'll get that there are two dating systems. One for a Jewish king, one for a non-Jewish king. Again, the Mishnah doesn't say all this. The Mishnah just simply says that there is a significant king marker for the first day of Nisan. There's a significant king marker for the first day of Tishrei. And then it's true, someone needs to come and tell us, once for the Jewish kings and once for the non-Jewish king. All that's true. But Rav Chisda is trotting it out as if it's like his idea. Meanwhile, it's just a Mishnah. So the Gemara says, Rav Chisda cry asa lashminan. Okay, so the Gemara says, no. You know what Rav Chisda really was there for? Rav Chisda was there for those psukim in Nehemiah. Now, I don't know if you remember, it was a week ago that we spent a good amount of time with those psukim in Nehemiah trying to figure out, right, what the dating, first perek, second perek. So that Rav Chisda held our hand for. Meaning it was that Rav Chisda was being mechadish in terms of how to properly understand the sequencing, the chronology of those psukim in Nehemiah. That's why I needed Rav Chisda. Okay, so what do we have right in front of us right now? So we said that the first day of Tishrei is Rosh Hashanah L'shanim, and as far as the Pshat is concerned, we're saying the Pshat is in terms of the proper dating of the documents. We had that by Nisan. Yeah, Nisan was for Jewish kings. Tishrei is for non-Jewish kings. That's all Pshat number one. Pshat number two. Ibai Semer of Chistak Rebbe Zera Masnila. The Rebbe Zera Amar Letzkufos Rebbe Lazar Hi. Damer Rebbe Tishrei Nevra Olam. So the Gemara says, I'll give you a different Pshat. And when it says that Tishrei is Rosh Hashanah L'shanim, it means it's Rosh Hashanah L'shanim, not like having nothing to do with dating and the dating of documents, but rather it has to do with tkufa, setting up the tkufa, and it subscribes to the viewpoint of Rabbi Eliezer. Okay, a number of times in the course of this Masechta, right? Three times in total. I'm cheating. I'm looking at this. I'm looking at the inside margin. So three times in our Masechta, we're going to be privy to a really interesting debate, and that is, when was the world created? Now, I know we all have been, right, brainwashed is not the right way to say it.
Conditioned.
That's better. That's a lot better way to say it. We've all been conditioned to think that the world was created in Tishrei. Okay? And I can't blame us. In other words, in Tishrei, and when we daven, so much of the nusach of davening on Tishrei, the Hayom HaRas Olam, the world was created. Okay? And there are a number of references to this is when the world was created. And meanwhile, it's a machlokas tanayim. And, right, spoiler alert, we most probably possibly like the position that the world was created in Nisan. Okay, I know. It's not, what's it called? It's just a little bit of rewiring. It's a little bit of unconditioning, if you will. But but nevertheless, it's a machlokas tanayim. Okay. Now, when the world was created, seems like, okay, good. It's an interesting debate. We're going to talk more about it later in the Masechta. Couple more times it's going to come up. So what's its significance? So actually, a lot of significance. Okay, but a lot of significance of things that happen under the hood, right? For the regular Jew on the street. So it's not going to change his life, but for a lot of the under the hood discussion, notably, when is the molad for the month, for the new moon? Okay, the molad for the new moon. So the moon is going to be operating with a cycle in which one molad occurs after another molad. The difference between molados is 29 days, 12 hours, 793 chalakim. If you don't understand this right now, that's fine. We're going to do this in much greater detail later in the Masechta. Anyway, the point being is as follows. So you have molad followed by molad. That is the lunar cycle. And it started when? Well, it started at the creation of the world. Okay. Well, when was the world created? Right? So year one. Yeah, but which month in year one? Was it the first day of Tishrei? Was it the first day of Nisan? And the answer is Machlokas. Machlokas between Rebbe Lazar and Rebbe Yeshua. And so if I subscribe to Rebbe Lazar, so then the molad is going to be counted from the first day of Tishrei in year one. If, on the other hand, I follow like Rebbe Yehoshua, so the molad is going to be counted from Nisan of that year. Okay. And again, right, most probably we paskin Nisan, not Tishrei. Anyway, neither here nor there. When we say Rosh Hashanah L'shanim, what our Mishnah is doing is our Mishnah is taking a stance on this issue, and our Mishnah is subscribing to the Shita Rebbe Elazar. That's another Pshat of our Mishnah. So that would be Pshat number two of our Mishnah in terms of what L'shanim means. And the Gemara now is going to be giving a third Pshat. Rav Nachman Yitzchak Amar, Lidin. According to Rav Nachman Yitzchak, we're talking about Din, meaning to say that we're going to be judged on Rosh Hashanah. It is, quite frankly, I'm not going to overreact, but quite frankly, it is something rather amazing, in which what we connect Rosh Hashanah most to, and that is that the world is going to be judged on Rosh Hashanah, is now going to be a third of three pshatim in the Gemara in terms of what does the Mishnah mean when it says Rosh Hashanah L'shanim, meaning that the Mishnah never says beferish that Rosh Hashanah is the day when we're being judged. All the Mishnah says is something ambiguous like it's Rosh Hashanah L'shanim, and now of three pshatim, this is the third pshat. Okay, so just interesting in terms of what happened, the way we turned this pshat into the main component of Rosh Hashanah. Okay. So, dichsiv, and how do I know that? Meaning, where is the source that tells me that Rosh Hashanah is Yom HaDin? Now, once again, just simple observations, which, you know, for somebody not in learning, comes as like shocking news, which is the Torah never describes Rosh Hashanah as Yom HaDin, right? It never says that Rosh Hashanah is Judgment Day. Again, that's the way we understand it, but never described in the Torah that way. In fact, the only way the Torah describes Rosh Hashanah, Yom Teruah, you blow shofar in Rosh Hashanah, but never to be described as Yom HaDin. So what we're now looking to do is try to extract from Psukim this idea that Rosh Hashanah is actually Yom HaDin. So Dichsiv, the Pasuk says, Mereish Rosh Hashanah, Vadach Rosh Hashanah. So we're in the beginning of Parshas Re'eh, and it's describing from the beginning of the year to the end of the year, Mereish Rosh Hashanah Nidah Mayeh B'Sofa. And it's going to be that from the beginning of the year, it's going to be judged in terms of what's going to be happening over the course of that entire year. So Mimai De Tishrehu, that's wonderful. There's no indication in that Pasuk that's talking about Tishrei. So Dichsiv, Tikah B'Chodesh Ofer B'Kesel M'Chagenu. So the Gemara says no, it is in fact talking about Tishrei. How do I know that? So I'm going to line it up with the Pasuk in Tehillim. Again, just imagine right now what we're doing in order to establish that Rosh Hashanah is Yom HaDin. So we turn to a thinly veiled reference that there is some judgment that occurs in the beginning of the year, but we don't know what that day is. Then we turn to a Pasuk in Tehillim, which is going to indicate that that it's the day in which, well, we'll see. It's what we call Rosh Hashanah is going to be Yom HaDin. How does it work from that Pasuk in Tehillim? So the Pasuk in Tehillim we're all familiar with. It's one of the Shir Shel Yoms. So Tikah B'Chodesh Ofer B'Kesel M'Chagenu. So the Pasuk in Tehillim says that you're going to be blowing on the shofar B'Kesel L'Yom Chagenu. Now, what does that mean, B'Kesel L'Yom Chagenu? Ezu Chag Shachodesh Miskaseh Bo. Which Yontif is the moon going to be covered? Okay, so for every Yontif, you're going to be seeing the moon. For most Yomim Tovim, meaning for Sukkot and for Pesach, we're going to be seeing full moon because it occurs in the middle of the month, 15th day of the month. So that's where you see the Levana b'milua in its fullness. However, what Yontif occurs where you don't see the moon at all? Meaning what Yontif concurs with Rosh Chodesh? The answer is there's only one Yontif min HaTorah that concurs with Rosh Chodesh. Yes, Chanukah overlaps with Rosh Chodesh, but Chanukah obviously is not a Chag. It's not a Yontif Midaraisa. So what Yontif is the Pasuk in Tehillim making reference to? Sha'ach Chodesh Miskasabo, Havi Amar, is a Rosh Hashanah. So it is a reference to Rosh Hashanah. Uksiv, Kichok L'Yisrael Hu, Mishpat L'Loke Yaakov. And then when you go on further in the Pasuk, so it describes how it's going to be. It's going to be a day of judgment. Judgment day. Okay, so the Pasuk in Re'eh, coupled together with this Pasuk in Tehillim, so when you put the two together, so it comes out now that Rosh Hashanah is in fact going to be Judgment Day, and that's what our Mishnah meant. When our Mishnah said that Rosh Hashanah is Rosh Chodesh Tishrei is Rosh Hashanah Lishanim, it's referring to this particular point, that it's a reference to Yom HaDin. Okay, Tanu Rabbanan, we're on Chesam and Beis, three lines down. So as long as we quote the Pasuk in Tehillim, so the Gemara is going to do a little bit more in terms of darshing the Pasuk. So when does din occur? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to wait until we're Mekadesh HaChodesh. Meaning, it's a point that we're going to make numerous times in terms of us sanctifying the month, meaning that we are going to decide, we're going to be the determinant of when Rosh Chodesh is going to occur. And on Rosh Chodesh Tishrei, considering the fact that it's tied to Din, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kaviyachol, to the best of our understanding, to the extent that we could say this, he's going to be waiting for us in terms of when we're going to be Mekadesh Rosh Chodesh, then and only then, now he's going to implement Din. Because Din is the function of Rosh Chodesh Tishrei. Tanya Yidach, the Gemara gives us another Braisa. Ki Chok L'Yisrael Hu, Ein Le'el L'Yisrael, Lumos Ola Minayin. So we now know that Rosh Hashanah is the Day of Judgment. That's for the Jewish people, non-Jewish people as well. So the Gemara says, yeah. Tamalamar Mishpat L'Elokei Yaakov. Okay, so it's Mishpat. So it's a day of judgment. Not totally sure how this phrase indicates that it's a judgment for the entire world. Okay, David, you read my mind. So I'm not really sure how we got from here to it's for the whole world. Maybe it's because it's redundant. The first part of the Pasuk, Ki Chok Li Yisrael Hu. Maybe. I'm not sure. Anyway, So Tamalamer Mishpat L'Yaakov. Imke Ma Tamalamer Kichok L'Yisrael. Malamish Yisrael Nechnasim Tchila L'Din. Now, what do we do with Kichok L'Yisrael? So that tells us that we're judged first. Now, why are we judged first? So the Gemara says, I'll give you two reasons why we're judged first. Number one, Kidder of Chista, Damar of Chista, Malach v'Tzibor, Malach nechnaf t'chila l'din. So if you have a king and you have Tzibor, so the king's going to be judged first. So, Shenamar Mishpat Avdo Umishpat Amo. So my time is so good, good. So we have a pasuk that tells us that the king is judged first. And as far as the pecking order of the nations of the world, so we're in the front of the line. So good. So we're going to be judged first. So the Gemara says good. So, but that's only the pasuk telling us that. Is there a svara? The Gemara says, yeah, actually there are two svaras. Number one, my time ibai sam alav arachar lameke malka evrai. So the Gemara says, first svara is just not derech eretz. In other words, you have the king, what's the king going to do? He's going to wait in line like everybody else. He's a king. It's not becoming of the king. Okay. So etiquette. So that's one pshat. The Gemara says, and I'll give you another pshat. And that is that what would happen now if everyone were judged first? So if everyone else were judged first, so their judgment's not going to go so well. And the problem with that is that you're going to exhaust the patience of the judge, right? The judge is going to be going over every person and, oh no, right? He did that. And at that point in time, there's not going to be any patience. And again, all this is kaviyachol. Again, we're talking about a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Kadosh Baruch Hu is infinite amount of patience. There's no, right, the idea is something which we're only speaking in a way that we can relate and we can associate. And good, so we are now saying it as if Akash Baruch Hu was an entity that could lose its patience. But Gemara gives a second way for us to think about it in terms of Svara, of why we are judged first. Okay, anyway, Lamaisa, what comes out now is that all this wraps up our third pshat in the Mishnah, when the Mishnah says that the first day of Tishrei is Rosh Hashanah L'Shanim. So pshat number one, quickly recap and review. Pshat number one, it has to do with the dating of documents. Pshat number two is that it has to do with when the world was created. And our Mishnah subscribing to the viewpoint of Rabbi Elazar that the world was created in Tishrei. And pshat number three is that it has to do with Din, that we are judged on Rosh Hashanah. And that's where Rosh Hashanah marks the first day in terms of judgment for the year. Continuing, Ula Shmitin, Minalan. I'll mention briefly. It says Tikkun B'Chodesh Shofar BeKesel Yom Chagin, and the way we explain the pasuk, the way I explain the pasuk is that it's a yontiv in which the moon is concealed, which is Rosh Chodesh. If you want to see a lot of interesting discussion over here, right here on our daf, Tosfos Shachodesh Miskasabo. Tosos is located on the Amud Beis. It's the first Dibra Maskal on this daf. So he quotes a really interesting pshat of Rabbeinu Meshulam, right? Third wide line down. Va'arav Rabbeinu Meshulam mefarish ha'chodesh miskasa bo she'in chatos rosh chodesh krab rosh hashanah. So one of the Balei HaTosfos, Rav Meshulam, so he says a pshat, talk about a chiddush. He says a pshat, he says that what is being covered up on Rosh Chodesh Tishrei, so we don't bring the standard carbon chatas that we would normally bring on Rosh Chodesh, meaning that Rosh Hashanah so overshadows Rosh Chodesh as its identity of the day that we don't even bring the normal carbonas that we would bring on Rosh Chodesh. Okay, talk about a chiddush. Okay, much discussed sheet of Rabbeinu Meshulam. Unclear whether Rabbeinu Meshulam himself even would subscribe to that viewpoint. Anyway, that's a chiddush for today. Anyway, Ula Shmitin. We're back in the Gemara. So Minalan Dichsiv. So how do I know that vis-a-vis Shmita? So it is going to be the first day of Tishrei. So Dichsiv. So the Gemara gives us a drasha. Uvishana hashviyish shabbat shabbaton yelaretz. So in Parshas Bahar, so there we are given the most detail regarding the halachas regarding Shemitah and Yovel. So it says that shabbat shabbaton yelaretz v'gamar shana shana mitishrei. So what do we have? We have a gzeirah shava dichsiv mireishis hashana. Okay, so we learn it out from reishis hashana. So the Gemara says interesting v'ligmar shana shana minisan. Well, you know the shana is also mentioned in reference to Nisan. So why don't we take the gzeirah shava and connect it to Nisan? So the Gemara says, "Dan shana she'ini machadashim mishana she'ini machadashim, ve'in dan shana she'ini machadashim mishana she'ishi machadashim." So the Gemara basically says, "Better gzeirah shava." This is an inverted point of that we made just a couple days ago. We made a Gzeri Shav a couple of days ago, linking to Nisan. So by Nisan, not only does it say Shana, it also says Chodesh as well. Okay. It also says Chodesh as well. Over here, this Gzeri Shav is better because it says Shana to the exclusion of Chodesh. Okay, it's a better Gzeri Shav. Anyway, good. So Shemitah begins in Tishrei. Okay, more of that to be discussed a little bit later on. But meanwhile, what we all know is that the Shemitah year begins and ends in the month of Tishrei, in the first day of Tishrei. Good. So that means to say that we observe Rosh Chodesh Tishrei all about a month and a half ago, approximately. So that was the beginning of the Shemitah year. You're not allowed to work the land from the first day of Tishrei. Truth be told, you're not allowed to work the land even earlier than that. Tosefa Shemitah, which is a point we're not going to discuss today. Another time. Uli Yovlos. Now, 50th year is Yovel. So the Gemara now also is going to turn its attention to Parshas Bahar, where we're going to be discussing now how the 50th year is going to be Yovel. And when does Yovel begin? It begins on the first day of the month, otherwise known as Rosh Hashanah. So that's when the Yovel year begins. So Yovlos Becha B'Tishrehu, Yovlos B'Yud B'Tishrehu. So the Gemara says, but that's not true. Meaning Yovel starts on the 10th day of the month. How do I know that? Dichsiv, because we have a Pasuk. B'Yom HaKippurim Ta'avir Shofar. Because we know that on Yovel, on the 10th day of the month, the Torah says, here's what you're going to do. You're going to blow shofar. Meaning normally shofar is blown on Rosh Hashanah. And in the Yovel year, I assume that's true as well. However, there's a special mitzvah that in the Yovel year, in the 50th year, so you're blowing shofar on Yom Kippur. And the assumption is that, you know why you're blowing shofar on Rosh you're blowing shofar on Yom Kippur of the Yovel year? It's because that's when Yovel begins. Meaning Yovel doesn't begin on the first day of Tishrei. Yovel begins on the 10th day of Tishrei, what we call Yom Kippur. So the Gemara says, Hamani, Rabbi Shmuel Benosho, Rabbi Yochanan Brokahi. So the Gemara says, okay, but that's not everyone's opinion. So yes, the Chachamim say that Yovel begins on the 10th day of Tishrei. That part's true. However, what also is true is that there's a Shita that argues with that. Notably, the Shita of Rabbi Shmuel, son of Rabbi Yochanan Brokah. Now, hopefully you remember because in yesterday's daf, we cited it a couple of times. So over here, we're citing it again. Meaning our Mishnah is subscribing to this Shita that Yovel begins on Rosh Hashanah, on the first day of Tishrei. De Tanya, now how do I know that? Meaning, well, I mean, it's a machlokas, but where do we source the machlokas? The Gemara quotes a brisa. V'kida shnasa chamishim shana. Matam lomer. So we quoted the pasuk from Parshas Bahar, and now the brisa goes on to explain. L'fisha ne'emar b'yom kippurim yacholote mitkadesh el yom kippurim ve'elech. Well, it happens to be that we have a really strong Havamina. By virtue of the fact that the Torah says you're blowing shofar in Yom Kippur during the Yovel year, that would seem to give us the indication that really everything begins on Yom Kippur. Meaning Yovel, as an entity, is going to start on Yom Kippur. And by the way, what happens on Yovel? We all know this, but it bears me at least stating the facts. So in the beginning of the Yovel year, so Eved Ivri goes free, and Eved Ivri La'olam goes free, and all properties return to its original owner. Good. And when is that going to occur exactly? So it's going to occur exactly on, well, that's a machlokas. Meaning, the simple reading of the pasuk, which is the sheet of the Chachamim, is that it starts on the 10th day of Tishrei. However, Rabbi Shmuel says, no, not on the 10th day of Tishrei, but rather on the first day of Tishrei. So how do we get there? So, Tamalamar v'kida shtem eshnasa chamishim, malamishim eskadesh avzo lechas mitchilasa. Once you get to year 50, the beginning of the year, already now Yovel's in effect. So Mikan Amar Rabbi Shmuel, Benosha Rabbi Yochanan Brokah. So now, from here, Rabbi Shmuel is fond of saying the following, which is, May Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippurim La Yavadim Niftarim Lebateihem, V'lo Mishtabim La Adoneihem. So now, once you start Yovel year, so anyone who's an Eved Ivri La Olam, so at that point in time, emancipation. However, there is going to be like a Bein Hashmashos period. I'm saying that by way of analogy, okay? In other words, so you are now, from Rosh Hashanah of the Yovel year, until Yom Kippur, he's free, but he doesn't go home. What does he do during those 10 days? Okay, so you're wondering. So, I'm sorry. So what they're going to be doing is they're going to be lounging for those 10 days. Okay? And the Itrosim Barashayim. Now, Rashi says over here that in terms of the wearing of the crowns, it's optional. They don't have to wear crowns, but they may wear crowns if they'd like to. Okay. And once Yom Kippur comes about, so now Basin's going to blow the shofar, And at that point in time, the Avadim are going to go home, and all ancestral fields are going to be returned to the rightful owners. Good. So, but according to Rabbi Shmuel, even though the shofar is blown on Yom Kippur, and yes, something's happening on Yom Kippur, but the truth of the matter is that emancipation really occurs on the first day of Tishrei. To which the Gemara says, fine, Vir Rabbana, now what if you're the Chachamim, and you're buying none of this? Meaning, according to the Chachamim, so Yovel begins on the 10th day of Tishrei, Yom Kippur. So what if you're the Chachamim, what do you do with all of the above? So the Gemara says, I'll tell you what do you do with all of the above. So Shana Matamekash, V'yatamekadosh Chadashim. Now, you just totally misunderstood the Pasuk. When the Pasuk says, V'kidashtem Shnasa Chamishim, so don't focus on the Shnasa Chamishim, but focus on the Kidashtem. And that means to say that when Beis Din gets to the 50th year, they have to be Mekadosh it. Meaning there has to be a formal declaration of Beis Din, this year is Mekudosh. Okay. Now, meaning, not totally clear what I'm saying. Meaning if Beis Din doesn't do so, it doesn't have Kedushas Yovel, I don't know. But in other words, Beis Din has to be Mekadosh. And that is in contradistinction to Rosh Chodesh. Rosh Chodesh, you don't need an act of Beis Din being Mekadosh it. Now that's funny because we're going to be spending a good part of our Masechta talking about how Beis Din is Mekadosh the Chodesh. And that when Beis Din declares it to be Rosh Chodesh, we're going to hear the Mishnah later on in our Masechta, Mekudosh, Mekudosh. And so, yeah, so there is a Shita out there, meaning what we're seeing right now, there's a Shita out there that Beis Din doesn't have to be Mekadosh the Chodesh. Okay, we'll discuss this in greater detail later in the Masechta. Anyway, the point is that the Chachamim take our Psukim and do not attach significance to the fact that it's the beginning of the year, because according to the Chachamim, it's not the beginning of the year, of the Yovel year. It's the 10th day of the Yovel year. And the Pasuk is there to teach us a totally different point. Okay. Adkan, we're going to stop over here. Tanya Idach is where we're going to pick it up tomorrow. And let's quickly recap. Okay. This morning, so the Machlok is between Rabbi Meir versus Rabbi Loz, Rabbi Shimon. When Rosh Hashanah is for Meisr Behema, whether it's Rosh Chodesh Elul, whether it's Rosh Chodesh Tishrei, two different svaras in terms of how we got there. Either a question of how to understand the Pasuk in Tehillim or a question of how to make a Hekesh. Two is that we moved on to Rosh Chodesh Tishrei. It's Rosh Hashanah L'Shanim. What does that mean? The Gemara offered three pshatim in terms of what it means to Rosh Hashanah L'Shanim. Either it has to do with Shtaros or Tkufos or Din for Rosh Hashanah. Finally, last point of the day is that, well, two more points for today. One, the Shemitah year begins in Tishrei. That's what the Mishnah meant when it said L'Shemitah. How do I know that? Gzeira Shava. And finally, Yovel. So Yovel begins on the first day of Tishrei. The Gemara says, doesn't the Torah say the 10th day of Tishrei? Machlokas Tanaim, which is the significant day of Yovel? Is it the first day of Tishrei, 10th day of Tishrei? Machlokas between Rabbi Shmuel and the Chachamim. And we cited the drushas that support each position.